Blog Talk Radio.
Delicious Talk, your host, Gail Delicious Johnson.
Hopefully everybody's having a nice Friday evening. The weather here was beautiful today. It was beautiful yesterday. I think this whole weekend is going to be nice, and that's a good thing because last week after that snow, it was really, really treacherous here, and some parts of Maryland were really messed up. Their electricity went out and was out for days, so I was blessed. Mine didn't go out. Thank you, God, for that. But like I said, this weekend is probably going to be a little bit better than last weekend. What did I do this week? Quite a few things I had my hands into. And like I had mentioned last week, I'm embarking on a new adventure. And once I get that underway, I'm going to, you know, let you guys know what's going on with that. And nothing else is really popping off right now. And if you guys don't know, I am an author. I have 4 books under my belt. My first book was Past It's Not Forgotten. Second book, You Might Get Lucky. Third, A Book of Delicious Erotic Short Stories. And my 4th book is The Reunion, the sequel to my first book. At this particular time, you can go to my website to order my books. And my website is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com. With that being said, I'm going to bring in my co-host, Rhea. Hello, Rhea.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Thank
good.
You. I already know you're doing good.
How's the weather there?
It's pleasant. It's, mm-hmm. They've been threatening. Like yesterday, we had a humongous amount of wind, and we mm-hmm. got rain, but we didn't get the kind of rain we thought we were going to get.
Right.
And we were supposed to be caught in 2 days of rain, all day Wednesday, mm-hmm. and then on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't happen. Thank goodness. But today was a very pleasant day. Yeah, we had a very pleasant day today.
Right, it was a good day here. And yesterday wasn't too bad either. Me and my daughter, we took her grandson to see Puss in Boots. That
okay.
movie
was it?
So, it was just a cute, very cute movie, you know.
Okay.
And he was watching it. But we went, they had it shown in a couple of movies, and one of the theaters, they were showing it in 3D. Now, the grandbaby kept his glasses on for a minute, but then he took them off. So when I took my eyes off, it was kind of blurry. So you did need the 3D glasses in there. But I guess he watched it, so he enjoyed it. You know, that was really something good for the kids. And I really wanted to see the movie, too, because I like that cat that came from Shrek. You know, he's a real cute cat. And today we went to, you know, did a little bit of shopping and bought some crabs and, you know, came home.
You,
like I said, it was
bag crabs. Did you finish your barrel yet?
The bushel.
The bushel.
Girl,
yeah.
I gave you know some of those crabs away and cooked some, you know, but there's no way in the world I could eat a whole bushel of crabs, you know. And my daughter, they didn't really eat that many the day that, you know, they were cooked as well. So, you know, just giving them away and getting rid of them like that was the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. So what is all this mess with Kim Kardashian? 72
you know
days of marriage, $10 million wedding.
Girl, she, okay, he was a damn fool because, first of all, she had only known him for 4 months. And if you look at her track record, well, maybe he actually thought he hit the jackpot, but because he was a fool. She married him. She knew it wasn't going to last. She married him to get to accomplish her objective, and
mm-hmm.
her objective was to have that wedding and to get paid, because she got paid for having that wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't put a heavy bill at all for that wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you got your wedding and you got paid at the same time and made this whole bigger name for yourself. Put my daughter to make a statement to me, and even though at the time I disagreed with it, later on I had to give her credit for what she said. Some people are very good at playing dumb. And what did she say? Paris Hilton is one of the most brilliant dummies you've ever met. And when she said that, she said, look at the girls. All you got to do is look in the eye. And I just sat there and I just thought about what she said for the longest of time. And she has the Hilton name, but she made her name for herself. And what did she make a name for herself doing?
A tape. X-rated tapes. That's how they all get out there. They do those X-rated tapes, and then they become famous.
Exactly.
You know, and then, you know, they have young girls looking up to these women, using them as role models. You know, it's crazy because they're not any type of role model. You mean to tell me that some little girl is going to, oh, well, Kim Kardashian, she made a tape, so I'm going to make a tape and become famous like her.
But some of them do. I've heard that before. Some of these girls do that. Some of these girls that are in high school think that if they can get a tape in the right hand of somebody, and that's why they're quick to share their little clippets or their little this or their little that and pictures and things such as that, in hope sometimes that it's even going to get on the internet.
Wow. That's really crazy.
It's sad.
That is so crazy. Yes, because I did a segment on the Third Eye Open today, and we were talking about weddings, you know, is it necessary to have these big weddings? And my personal view of that is if a person can afford to have a big wedding, you know, then they can have a big wedding, but if you're like on a budget and you can't afford it, don't spend up all your money on a wedding that's only going to last 72 days or a year, you know, because you have to also think about the future. You know, you just can't think about that one day. Okay, we're going to get married. We're going to have this big, great, big, extravagant wedding, invite a million guests and this and that. And then the next day you're arguing over, well, we don't have any money in the bank.
That's true. And it's so unfortunate because sometimes they talk, the only finance that they do talk about is the finance that's leading up to and involved with the wedding. They don't talk about afterwards and this, that, and the other. There's no way. I don't even know if I could afford it. Would I do it where you, I don't think so because I can see so many other places where I can use that money that would actually carry for the rest of lives. You know, it's like, to me, as long as the wedding involves the people that you love, that you want to see there to experience it, and you all have fun, I think I'd spend more money on a reception than I would the wedding.
Right, because you can go to the Justice of the Peace and take a handful of your friends, and then, you know, maybe a couple of months later when you save up some money or whatever and have a nice reception.
Exactly.
But people just go overboard, you know, decorating the church, doing this, doing that, paying a preacher, blah, 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 you know. So, you know, then they get caught up, and the next thing you know, they're in an argument, and after that, well, I'm divorcing you. You know,
exactly.
So what you spent all that money. So, you know, well, she had it to spend, and then she got money off of it, so it wasn't like she lost.
But because
you know,
of the notoriety of that wedding, she didn't spend what people think she spent, namely because people who had businesses wanted to be noted as being as part of that wedding because of the notoriety, the press, the following, and everything else that she got behind it.
Mhm. Yep. Wow, that's just crazy. It is so crazy. And I know you also heard about the Amber Cole incident, the little 14-year-old girl.
Oh,
that
she's up
was,
to
the was having oral sex. But on the internet, it says it happened in Baltimore.
Yeah. Right. No, I'm sorry. I thought when you said Amber, we have a situation here where a little girl was murdered. And that's her name. And that's why that was on my head because they arrested somebody today. But, yeah, I did hear briefly about that, and that's highly unfortunate and very sad to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it is because, number one, where is her parents? You know, I heard her father come forth, and the only thing he was talking about was that he was upset because it had went viral. I mean, come on. That's the only reason you're upset about it. You should be upset because it's something that your 14-year-old daughter is doing that she really should not even know anything about. You know, get to the root of that. You know, and he's also saying that she was harassed and bullied into doing it. That little girl was not harassed and bullied into doing anything when I saw the video. And then they're saying that she had broken up with that little boy, and he told her the only way that he would take her back is if she gave him oral. Now I don't know, you know her personal or anything like that, but it doesn't look like she was forced or bullied or anything. And as a matter of fact, there were some other little guys out there, the guy who was taping it and another guy who was sitting on the side. It was about maybe three other guys out there besides the guy who she was actually giving the oral to. So if she's letting them watch her do that, you know, and I'm quite sure she had to have known that it was being taped because they was laughing and joking, you know, and the little boy who she was giving the oral to, he was looking like in the window to make sure nobody was coming. But they said it was in the back of a building that wasn't being used. And this was in broad daylight.
I'm on the bus route of two high schools here in the city. The things that I hear in the morning on that bus, it's like, I mean, it curdles my soul sometimes because what they think, the mindset of some of these young girls nowadays more so than anything else, it's so scary to me because they, even when it comes to the abuse, they really do look at that as if he wouldn't do it if he didn't care about her and all this kind of stuff. And I just sit there and I just listen to some of them. But the one thing that I am learning more and more when it comes to sex or what they think it is that she just getting it in. It means nothing that she, I'm like, wow, really? I often wondered where was my thinking that compared to some of theirs nowadays because I never ever thought like that. I'm like, wow. It's sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. And then the fact of the matter, people are saying that she needs a hug, she needs this, she needs that. No, I think she needs some type of counseling and some type of guidance. And, you know, it could be a possibility that her parents are divorced or maybe her mother's a single mother. She could be on drugs or whatever. But I have not heard anything that her mother, you know, has even come forth. She may not even have a mother. I don't know. But, you know,
well,
just listen to the father.
What her father said is this, and I refuse to think that you know, all men, quote unquote, or whatever, are capable of this. But so it's okay as long as it was kept in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And it just raises flags with me about him. That
way
of thinking. You only upset because it went viral. You only upset because everybody else knows about it. So it's okay as long as she was doing it and it was not being videotaped.
Right, and then this is something
wow.
else. Everything nowadays, you can't go anywhere or do anything without being filmed. If you're in a store, you're on camera. The only places they don't have cameras, and they did find one in a bathroom in a Starbucks, but those are the only places that you can go in public and not be videotaped is in a bathroom because
wow.
they have them everywhere. They have them everywhere, and if that little boy may have not have been filming her, it's possibility it could have been a camera on the school. You see what I'm saying? So I know
mm-hmm.
that I know for one that she was not forced into doing what she was doing. She was not bullied into doing it, and this is the excuse he's coming up with because the tape has gone viral. No, like I said, you need to sit your daughter down and find out why she did it, what's going on with her to make her do something like that.
Exactly.
Wow, it's just, it's terrible. And then I know you may have heard about the lady who was so drunk her baby got kidnapped.
I didn't hear about her.
You know, it's kind of funny, and then it's kind of sad because I think her baby was 9 months old, you know, just a little baby. Why would you go and drink wine? Now, she claims she was so drunk because she didn't know anything. They go to bed, and then they find out the baby's missing. Number
wow.
one, if you have a little baby, you don't have no business getting drunk. This is just what she claims happened. But I actually believe that because that's generally the case. When they really do a deep investigation, they generally find out that the parents have either killed the children or the child.
Yeah.
And, you know, made up an excuse or a reason like Susan Smith or like that other girl who killed her two little boys and, you know, trying to blame it on somebody breaking into the house or whatever. Because when they was interviewing her, she didn't look distraught. She didn't look like she missed her baby, wanted her baby back. Now they're not even cooperating with the police. They're not answering any more questions and consulting with an attorney. So right there, that raised a red flag.
Yeah.
Yeah, that just raised a red flag. So I don't know, but this it's just so crazy out here. It's really crazy. Yeah, so I don't know where our guest is this evening. And we read but I think what I'm going to do is we're going to take a little break and come back and talk a little bit more, and then I guess we'll close early. Does that sound like a winner or what?
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's just take this little break.
Okay.
Would you cherish what we had?
That's Alicia Keys, The Last Time. I think that's the name of that song. that's not the name of the song, but y'all, you know that's Alicia Keys. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that.
You were, as soon as you said it, you knew it was wrong.
Woo! Oh my goodness. This thing with, is that Herman Cain, the guy that they're giving a hard time, these women coming out the woodwork that he
mm-hmm.
allegedly sexually harassed or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the third one that came out. Now, my thing is, I don't know anything about this man. I don't know where he came from or where he's going. But, you know, it's so funny that now this happened in 1990 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It happened some years ago. Why all of a sudden, almost 11 years later, it's coming out?
Because he's in the forefront of the media.
You know, that's a daggone shame because they knew about that all those years ago. And they wait till this man gets up and want to do whatever he's doing, and then they decide to bring those skeletons out the closet.
But that's part of that is it's the nature of the beast and what they're dealing with, because a lot of them are so supposedly staunch in their belief of this, that, and the other that goes against what he even, you know, promotes. This is the same man who had the audacity to say that abortion should even be illegal for people that are raped and things. Don't get me wrong. I'm a pro-choice person, okay?
He said abortion should be what?
It should be illegal, even if you were raped or molested.
Oh, okay.
And you know, things such as that nature. But things, it's almost like if they do have the child and God forbid it, keep it, the child, and that child starts looking like that offender or anything like that, God knows what that child's life is going to be like. First of all, I'm not a proponent of abortion, but I will say this. People have the right to choose themselves. And I don't think their right to choose should be taken away from them. If they're, when I say they, a lot of the people on the ballot or whatever you want on who vote the way he votes, they get in other people's bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
They want to police this, that, and the other. So it goes along with the program. But in my opinion, it's like, really? Really? So you couldn't find nothing current on this man. So you had to go back those 11 years. Wait a minute. Talking about something that has a confidential clause or whatever it's called.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
They can't even, you know, so now what the lawyer talking about, well, if they lift it, then they can talk about it. But that doesn't discount the fact that I think he did it. And you know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because he running his mouth and the things he said running his mouth, he kept putting his foot in it. He really must like the way his feet taste.
Because
he put them both in his mouth. But I'm just sitting here like, wow, really? Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay. For a book deal.
You say, what is a book deal?
I said, them women will be up for a book deal soon.
Oh, and a movie too. You know they make a movie out of everything.
It's like, really? Okay.
Yeah. And I also heard that Jesse Jackson was supposed to have been let me get this straight because I don't want to say nothing wrong. But they're supposed to be investigating him that he had something to do with the assassination of Martin Luther King.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh?
Wow. That means both of them are being investigated. Because his son is being investigated too.
Well, this is just something I heard. So, you know, it's not nothing that I said. It's just something that I heard. So I don't know. But, you know, things, when the dust is settled, that's when all the stuff comes out, because they also saying that the guy who killed Kennedy wasn't in on it by alone. You know, just like they said, who killed the guy who supposedly killed Martin Luther King, they said he didn't do it. You know, so I don't know. I don't know. But one thing for certain, two things are for sure. Somebody knows the truth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Somebody knows
the truth.
And the
unfortunate part, in order for them to get to a lot of the people like that, they have to go through somebody in their inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really hard to get. I often look at the way, even the way they walked when they marched and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was, unless you were ahead of them, and because they were on like highways and things like that, that was hard. But like from a side view, it would have been really hard to hit anybody that wasn't on the end.
Mm-hmm.
Even when they were marching and things like that. But, you know, to get to them, whether you're talking about Kennedy, Malcolm X, King, to get to all through, they had, nine times out of ten, it had to be, they had to get to somebody in their inner sanctum first.
Right. Somebody on the inside. It had to be an inside man. Somebody who set things up, you know, because.
Exactly.
He was at the Lorraine Hotel, went out on that balcony, you know, and the person being out there at that precise time, you know, things
mm-hmm.
had to be in sync with that. So it may be a possibility that Jesse Jackson may have set him up. I don't know.
Wow.
You know,
well,
he could have said, well, let's.
I heard that Jesse Jackson was not, he ran to the scene. He was not even there, like, he got on the scene when it occurred. For years I heard
mm-hmm.
that. I heard that he was downstairs on the in a courtyard or whatever, with,
mm-hmm.
You know, like where the press and everything was.
Mm-hmm.
And then when all that broke out, he ran up there and leaned into him, and that's how his blood got on his shirt and stuff like that. Then, personally, I always thought he was an opportunist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because just like when he was messing around on his wife and got that girl pregnant.
Well, when you mess around, that can happen.
Yes, it can, and it did.
I'm sorry to speak for that. I got another grandbaby on the way, no.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, congratulations. When is the due date?
January 4th.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations. You know what it is?
It's a little girl.
Oh, so how many grandkids you got?
I have one. I have
Alexia
is my only granddaughter now, and then this is a little girl, and her name is going to be Mackenzie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't that sweet?
So I'm just praying that we will be able to be a family to her.
To be a family to her?
Uh-huh. Because I don't feel comfortable with this at all.
Oh, this is your son's baby?
Yes, yes.
Okay, his first one? Or this
his second.
Oh, this is second child.
This is Alexia's father's baby also.
Oh, okay. Hmm. Wow. Well, I guess, you know, what's to be is to be, you know, and I just, you know, hope things work out for you, because it can be a problem. We have a caller. Let me see who this caller is. Hello, caller. 770.
Hey, Delis.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey,
Lisa.
Lisa. What y'all doing?
Well, we're just chewing the fat right now because our guest has not shown up. So we're
Miss Envy didn't show up?
No, Envy Red. No, she didn't show up. So.
Oh, that's not like her. That is not like her because I've had Envy on
Yeah, I had called her, but she didn't return my call. Hold on for a second.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Nah, she's talking on the other phone.
Oh, you know what? We're just going to have to hurt her eventually
Envy,
one of these days.
Envy?
Oh, she got Envy on the
good,
other phone.
Good.
Yeah. Envy, you know she don't know which line to call in
today.
On, but she'll be all right. Hey, Ms. Ree, what's good?
Nothing.
You see what I'm doing on, you see all the awards and everything I'm doing for my authors.
So you going to call in? Okay.
Oh.
I
yeah,
don't
hello.
Facebook that much like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
You've been working me too hard.
So I'm not working you too hard. I don't work nobody too hard.
No, they have. Not you. My job has.
Oh, okay. Well, we gonna get it to a point where you can just retire and be all right.
Girl. Mm-hmm.
you don't know.
I think I can handle it right about now.
What happened?
I said I think I can handle that right about now.
Yeah, just we all gonna retire, but I don't think my authors are gonna let me retire.
No,
I really
you definitely
don't.
Can't retire, Lisa.
You ain't helping to list like let me just lay down for 5 minutes. And I was watching, no lie, I was watching the show, and I was watching Extreme Makeover. That's like my favorite show. And they had, no lie, they had puppies behind bars. And it was actually puppies that are getting trained by inmates that,
yeah.
Wow, yeah. And then they go to they become service dogs for the military. And so I'm donating, I'm calling Rye, I'm doing everything because our girl just came home. Love you, Rye Flint. But, so, and I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go on this show, and I'm so sorry I was late. My bad.
Well, I think we have Miss Envy Red on the line. I'm going to read her little bio. Okay. Envy Red is a Washington, D.C. I had to put on my right glasses. I'm sorry.
Don't put the bifocals on. Put the right glasses on. Child.
I got so many pair of glasses. You ever watched Red Foxy go into his drawer and have a million pair of glasses? That's how I am. I have so many glasses. I need a pair with some bifocal lens in them. But when I went to get them, they were like $400, and I don't have $400 like that.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Envy Red is a Washington, D.C. area native by way of Birmingham, Alabama. A two-time graduate of the University of Maryland, she resides in Southern Maryland with her two boys. Through her weekly blogs, short stories, and appearances, she promotes awareness of the sexual health issues plaguing the nation. As a board member of Homebound Citizens, nonprofit assisting homebound citizens and the homeless population, the journey to help others shall be realized one person at a time. So with that being said, we're going to bring on Miss Envy Red. Oh, and her book, Touch, we're going to be discussing that tonight. Hello, Envy.
Hello.
Hi, darling.
Looking on
her
Facebook, junkie.
Oh, so you you saw it was posted on Facebook. Well, I thought, you know, everything was confirmed for today, you know, and I had called you and everything, but we're not even going to talk about that. We're going to get right to the meat of this topic tonight, and that is this book, Touch. Now, how did you come up with the name Touch for your book, first of all?
That's a good question because I wrote the whole book before I came up with that. It's crazy because, you know, I just sat and I had this story in my head and I just wrote it. You know, the first time around, it was basically all fun. It was like, you know, I had this story that I was kicking around in my head, and I just wrote it. So the whole time I'm toiling over, what is going to be the name of this book? And I knew that I wanted to work with one-word titles as much as I could because I wanted it to be, you know, memorable. Sometimes when you have titles that are kind of long, you forget, you get them confused with other titles. And so I was toiling over this name, and then finally, you know, after I finished it, I just sat and thought about all the issues in the book, because even though it's erotica, it has some, you know, childhood trauma, mental illness, those type of things in there. So I gave it the title Touch, because to me it had dual meaning. Of course, touch could be taken, you know, physically, that could, it could be taken that way, but it can also be taken in a mental sense that the book touches on various subjects. So that's about it.
Well, it definitely does that. Now, how long did it take you to actually write the story?
Probably about, I would say it was roughly 6 months.
Okay.
6 months.
Okay. Now, you
and
have
crazy.
Quite a...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, quite a few characters in here. How did you come up with the characters? All right, is any of this, let me ask you this first. Is anything in this book related to you or people you know? Are any of the incidents in here actually happening or actually happened? Or is it all just something that you came up in your imagination?
Well, I'll tell you this. It I get that question all the time, especially when people turn flip the book over and they read the synopsis. They look at me with a side eye like, what does she know? Because, you know, it's almost like a fantasy world to most people. So they're like, you know, how does she know about this? I'll say this. the characters are all fictional. When I was coming up with characters, they just sort of came to me, and bits and pieces of all of the characters have something about me in them. Now, what that means is, you know, they may not necessarily be, you know, completely taken from me, but each character has some piece of me, whether it be my mindset on a certain thing, you know, my physical attractions to other people. They all have a small piece of me. So, you know, I can't really say how I came up with the characters per se, because they're not related to anybody in particular, you know, but like I said, they all have a piece of me, and the story itself, the things that are going on in the story, is all fictional, but we all know, you know, those things, they do have real live, you know, lifestyle swingers and all that, but
right.
I sort of embellished, you know, some of it, you know, to make it a little more entertaining, but I did my research.
Mm-hmm. Right, because I'm reading this and I'm saying, wow, did she actually do some of these things? You know, because it makes you think, you know, how did she know that? And, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially when, you know, you and the girls went to those, I guess they were swinger parties, and I said you and the girls went. I'm sorry. When
I plead
when Lena, Jade, and all of
what was that?
Sorry. When they all got together and went to these, you know, these swinger clubs, you know, and parties, you know, I'm saying to myself, well, you know, because everything was just set up so perfectly, you know, the different areas and, you know, the things that was going on. And then I think it was it Lena who owned the boutique?
Yes. Nina.
Okay.
Nina.
Yeah. Then I have a Nina in my book as well. Nina owning the boutique. And then, you know, I never ever imagined or even dreamed that the person who was doing all that killing was that person.
Right.
Did you know it, Rhea, or did you figure it out before you found out, or what?
I did not figure it out. I did not know it was that person, but I knew it was somebody that they went around.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily think it was one of the three of them,
mm-hmm.
Or her brother, or even the guy who owned the gym.
Devin, was it?
But
that was Devin, wasn't it?
Devin.
So, mm-hmm. So it is pronounced Divine. Okay, because I'm
yeah.
like.
Oh, Divine. I thought it was Devin. Okay, Divine.
I thought it was Divine.
I was thinking that it was Divine for a minute, but then I said, well, I don't know. You know, but it was really to the end when, you know, I said, oh, my goodness.
It was pushing on you. It was kind of messing with your head.
Yeah,
I started giving a sad eye to, I guess, the people more on the outer cusp of them, and I'm looking to see, and I'm like, okay, could it be her husband? What, Chantel? Could it be her husband? And I'm I didn't think it was her. And then I'm like, well, could it be the guy in the fire engine wrench, briefs? And I'm like, I knew it was somebody in that circle. Because they got to these people like they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I cut in?
Sure. Yeah, go on.
Miss Envy.
What's up, Lisa? I can tell your voice anywhere. Nobody even had to tell me that you were on the line.
Baby girl, look, y'all, Rhea and Delish, I had the honor of meeting this girl at Harlem Book Fair, and I thought somebody was shorter than me. I really did. But no, that'd be K-Storm. But everything. And Jaded is coming out, and everybody's wilding in my hood because they got touch. I got the book. So, you know, they're like, let me read this. Now, next thing I know, people are knocking on my door. When is the next book coming out? I'm like, what? Yeah, so you got a lot of love in the ATL, and I will see you in March because you come with Raheem. I already know.
Okay.
I already know.
Shout out to Raheem Brooks.
Right, exactly. Shout out to Raheem. But, I listen to y'all talk, and, you know, I'm just a little me, and I just be like, Envy Red, oh, my God, you got her on the show? And I wasn't doing nothing tonight. I canceled my show. I have to take hiatus from all that because I got the events going on and stuff. But when it came to Envy and I saw that show and it was a delicious show and Rhea on there, like, I'm coming for it. I'm coming for it. Baby girl.
Thank you.
Baby girl Envy. Oh, Lord. You just, y'all got to meet her in person. I'm trying to explain something to you. Her book is probably a lot of her. I'm just gonna say that.
Well, you heard me when I said when you and the girls go.
I was about to get
on the show and go, what's up, Ever? But you know, I kept my composure.
Next thing you know, everybody gonna say, she Nina, y'all, she Nina. No, okay.
Yo, Envy, no lie. Nene, the Housewives of Atlanta, you know what I'm talking about. This girl got in a fight in Walmart the other day, and I swear I thought of you. I was like, I hope Envy back up in Washington, D.C. She ain't going to be nowhere down here.
Nowhere near this, okay? I mean, it's
so funny. But, yeah, Envy, we love you. We love you. And if you go on my page and check my profile picture, sweetheart.
Oh, I got to go on it. See, I went skating tonight. I'm bad. I just have this skating addiction thing going on. I really need an intervention. But, you know, I mean, I guess it's helping me.
Would you go roller skating or ice skating?
Yes, roller. Ooh, I don't do ice. I'm from Alabama. You ain't know?
Oh, what the heck? Right,
there ain't no ice
around
in Alabama.
No.
Oh, okay.
Well,
we have
an
ice rink here.
Yeah,
we have an ice rink
here. But Delish, she up in Washington, D.C., so, you know, they might have ice skating over there. But, no, that girl ain't never going to ice skate.
They do. They have an ice skating ring. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, getting back to the book. How did you come up with the plot to your story? And did you have the plot before you started writing, or as you wrote more and more, you came to the plot?
This is the weirdest thing. I have no method to my madness at all. And it's crazy because The first time around, I could say that, but the second time around with Jaded is my baby. I love touch and everything, but I really feel growth with Jaded. And mm-hmm. I guess it's because I had to, it wasn't just fun and games anymore, you know. It was still fun, but I had to think more strategically, you know what I mean? I had to think, okay, how do I develop these characters in a way where I'm not giving away too much, or I'm giving away just enough and not dropping them with a big bomb at the end. I'm giving them bits and pieces throughout the story. So with Touch, though, it was one of those things where I had, this is how I normally work, and I kind of did it with Jaded, too, but with Jaded, I actually did plot out some of the chapters ahead of time. Not all of them, but, like, I would get to, let's say, chapter 12, and then I would say, okay, 13, 14, 15 is going to go like this, and I'll kind of outline it. But with Touch, that was my firstborn. So it was sort of like, okay, I had this idea. You know, I'm from Alabama. The prologue is kind of tragic. It starts with, you know, the children witnessing their father kill their mother and critically injure their aunt. I always mm-hmm. had it in my mind. I witnessed some, you know, domestic violence coming up, and it was in my mind that I needed to throw that in there somewhere, you know. And so I was like, okay, what can I do? I can open it up. And as you guys are going to find out, I'm going to open up all my books with some kind of tragedy. I'm sorry. Y'all going to have to just cry. But I had it in my mind that, you know, even though the book is erotica, it does have an erotic element to it, that I wanted to give you guys some substance, you know, some things that, you know, that are dear to my heart. And so what ended up happening with that is that, you know, I had bits and pieces of the plot, and then it just flowed. It was just weird. It was one of those things where I didn't sit down and plan, okay, this is going to be this and this is going to be that. I just sat, and every day that I sat, it just developed more and more. As I went along, the characters just got more life, and they became a part of me. So no method.
Oh, okay.
There it is.
So did you self-publish this book, or did you have a publisher?
I self-published all the way from beginning to end.
What made you self-publish opposed to getting a publisher?
That's a good question because, like I tell people, you know, a lot of times, you know, self-publishers get a bad rap. People think, oh, they're the traditional rejects, or, you know, I've heard all kinds of things about self-published authors, or they're not professional, they don't put out quality, and I mean, that's not true. I mean, you have people who spoil it, you know, for everyone, but with me, it was more of a selfish thing. It was, and I'm not going to say selfish as in monetary gain, but it was selfish in the sense that I wanted to control what I was getting into to some point, because, you know, I'm a person who, when I get into something, I want to learn as much as I can, and I just kind of felt like the best way for me to do that was just jump out there on my own and learn, and so far, you know, it's really been a good journey. Well, I've had, you know, a couple bumps, of course, you know, but it's been a good journey because it's been a good learning experience, and I feel that, you know, if I were to go with a traditional at some point, that I would have a lot of knowledge under my belt to make a more informed decision. So, I mean, the decision, you know, to self-publish was all selfish. It was me wanting to, you know, absorb as much, because I'm a serial learner. I mean, I'm always going to school, and I'm a serial school person. I don't know what you want to call me, but I'm always going to school, always learning something new, and I just wanted to absorb as much as I could, and instead of me going the route of putting inquiries out and, you know, getting rejections, if, you know, because that happens. I just wanted to do it on my own and give it a shot. So that's what I did. Didn't shop myself to nobody.
Okay. Who would you say is your biggest fan base, your biggest supporters?
My biggest supporters, That's a good question. A lot of people have embraced me. I mean, I've had people who don't read erotica embrace me. My fan base is pretty diverse. You know, it's like I tell people all the time, I go to book signings. I do a lot of book signings. And I probably get more men buying my book than women when I'm at book signings. Now, that could mean a couple of things. It could be, you know, they attracted to a sister. I don't know. So they purchase the book just hoping, you know, I don't know, maybe that's it. Maybe it's my sale, you know, when I'm in front of people, you know, it attracts the men. But, you know, as far as, you know, Facebook, you know, Twitter, tagged, all these different other areas that I get out in, my fan base is pretty diverse. You know, I've seen it run the gamut from, you know, the person who you would just never expect to like this type of stuff, Rhea, to, you know, I have a really diverse fan base, so I can't really, you know, and even author support. I get a lot of author support. I mean, it's eye-opening for me. And, I mean, I have a lot of authors who've read my book. They don't just support what I post, you know, in these groups. I have a lot of them who've actually read, and they talk about it in the groups like a normal reader. So pretty diverse.
Who inspires you?
All of the people, all of my lovely people in the literary world. I mean, you got the Treasure Blue. Treasure has really been a gem to me. I mean, he has really taken me in under his wing and just really, you know, helped me tremendously. I have people, I tell people all the time, Raheem Brooks is new, but don't sleep on him. He is a wealth of knowledge. I mean, I talk to Raheem daily. Okay, we become friends, and, you know, he helps me out a lot. He inspires me because he has a lot of drive, and I know his story. I know what he's been through. You know, I have people like Eon Williams, you know his story. He's in D.C. He's in Washington, D.C. as well, and he inspires me because, you know, I have this affection for people who have been incarcerated and have turned their life around, because I really believe that people can be reformed. And so when I see people, you know, make bad decisions, you know, I don't put them on a pedestal or anything, but what I'm saying is that when I see people make bad decisions and they actually turn their life around when the odds were stacked up against them, which we all know, you know, a lot of times when people come out of the system, you know, they end up repeat offenders, because it's like, what do? They can't get a job, you know, because of their record. It's like almost a dead-end situation. But when I see them take that and turn it into something positive, you know. So people like Eon, you know, Williams, Trey Verdejo, he, you know, he helped me out a lot. He inspires me a lot as well, because he has a hustle in him. You know, I hate to really name names, because then I start, I hate that I forget somebody, but, you know, the reviewers, Ray Alexis Banks, I mean, Shantae Foster Henderson, I mean, I have... It's a slew of people who really inspire me to keep pushing English from Art Book Club. She read Jaded. And, you know, from what I understand, she's a tough cookie, and she loved it. So, I mean, it inspires me to keep moving, you know, keep going forward. And even, you know, people like Loxie. Loxie didn't even really like my book. I mean, she liked the storyline, but she thought, you know, she wasn't really, you know, into that like that. So, you know, but she's inspired me as well, because she showed me what I needed to do to get better. And I think it's going to show this time around.
Okay, how long have you been writing, and Touch is your first book, right?
Yep. Sure is. I've been writing, you know, forever. Is that possible? I've been reading since before I was five. My mom said I probably started reading when I was like four. I read pretty quick. Ever since I started reading, from the time anybody can remember, I always walked around with a book in my hand. When I got to the point where I was in grade school and I could write, I would write these little stories and stuff in class, and it was more so for kudos, because the teacher would give attention to the person who wrote the best story, or, you know, it was one of those things where I was kind of like in competition with myself, like how many teachers can I get to, you know, really like me, you know, in my writing. So, you know, it just sort of grew. And then as I got older, you know, high school and things like that, people started really, you know, taking notice and saying, you know, like my English teachers and everything would pull me to the side when I would do essays and short stories and things of the nature and just really tell me, you know, you got a talent, but I went the safe route. You know, sometimes you don't have people in your corner that push you to go the way of your dreams. They're trying to tell you to go the safe route. So, of course, what did I do? I went to school for business instead of something in the literary field, you know, English or, you know, whatever, journalism, which I really would have liked to do, journalism, you know. And I just went the safe route. And then eventually one day I just woke up. I think it was my 30th birthday is when I woke up and said, I was in Cancun. Yep, I remember it like it was yesterday. I woke up on my birthday. I went to Cancun alone. And when I woke up, I said, you know what? I'm a new me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I got this story. I'm going to write it. You know, and it took me, I sat on it for another year, another 2 years almost, before I finally said, okay, let me go ahead and do it. And that's what happened with Touch. And it came at a good time because I was diagnosed with cancer as I wrote that book. And it kind of pushed me even more to get it done because I was kind of dragging my feet on it. And then when that happened, it just lit a fire under my butt. So,
wow. Yeah. So have any of your family members read your books and how did they take it? How did they feel about it?
I love my family. Let me preface it with that. But sometimes it's hard. It's hard to get that support from your family. I can tell you, I can probably count the people in my family who have read my book, and I'm not saying that to put them out there like that, but it's the truth, and I'm a truth speaker. And,
right.
You know, many of them haven't, but the ones who have, you know, they all were shocked because they didn't know that I had it in me. You know, they knew, you know, oh, she can write, you know, but not to the point of writing an actual novel. You know, to them that was sort of like far-fetched idea. A lot of people have the idea that writing a book is really far-fetched, but if you put your mind to it, you can do whatever.
Right.
But a lot of people, you know, they have it in their mind that, oh, that's like a far-fetched dream. Like, who does that? But the ones who read it, they were shocked. And, I mean, even, like, reading the content, it was kind of embarrassing because my grandmother read it. Oh, goodness. My grandmother... She's my grandmother through marriage. All my grandparents are no longer living, you know, rest their soul, but she's still my grandmother nonetheless, you know what I mean? And she
right.
read it, and I was so nervous. I kept calling my dad, like, what is she going to say? And he was like, girl, don't worry about it. She reads Zane and all this. I'm like, what? Granny be reading Zane?
So,
oh, yeah, granny. You know, go ahead with the bed. So, me in our 70s, okay? So I was like, okay, all right. So she read the book, and I guess she would be the most notable reaction because as soon as she read it, she was calling me, "Ooh, girl, you wrote that book. I love it. Da-da-da, when you write the next one?" Oh, she was all excited. I'm telling everybody I need to buy X amount of copies because I need to give it to Aunt this and Aunt that. I need to get everybody a copy. I was so surprised. I was, like, really thinking Granny was more conservative than that. But she enjoyed it because she, you know, she said what a lot of people say. It actually does have a plot. It wasn't just about the sex, so.
Right. That's you know, because some story can be, you know, all about sex. You know, it gives no... You know, it really doesn't take you anywhere. And sometimes when I read a book, if it doesn't grab me by the first, I would say the first chapter or the first 10 pages, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I'm not pulled in, I'm done. You know, so this book definitely, you know, grabbed me, you know, just reading it from the first pages, you know.
Thank you.
I said, oh, okay, well, I can read this. And I, you know, read it and... Like I said, you know, finding out what was going on and, oh, my goodness, it was just like, and then the erotica in it is just so, it's almost real, as if you could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said you and your girls. You know, it's almost as if you are telling the story like it was something that you did. You know, that's how I you know, read over the erotica in the story, and it's you know, it's tasteful, you know, because it's not you know, so much in your face, you know, like some books are really like in your face. You might know some of the stories in my book of delicious erotic short story are definitely in your face, but that's just how I wrote it, you know. But
right, not too much swearing or anything like that, you know. I dropped a couple B's in there, but I'm really not a big swearing type of person.
Right,
so,
right.
I really
myself
don't like to
either.
Read it. Yeah, I don't
right.
like to read a book that's like you B this, you M that. It's like every other word is like the F bomb and the B. You know, I can't get with it. You know,
right,
even with
right.
you know, street lit. I mean, even with that, I don't think people swear that much in a sentence with some of the stories. So, like, I don't see a need for all of that. So I just sort of, I don't know. I had an inmate. I'll tell y'all a quick story. I had an inmate because I sent it in a prison. My brother's in a federal prison, and I had another friend, you know, who read it, who was incarcerated. And he called me, like, the next day and was like, because he read it in one day. And he was like, what else he got to do? He read it in one day. And he was like, you know, he's not really into erotica and all that. He likes a lot of those more the books that stimulate your mind, you know, history and stuff like that. And so when he
right.
read it, he was saying, you know what, girl, the erotica scenes, you know, I've read some books. I've read some Zane. He said, this book has the freshest erotica scenes of anything I've read. He said, not one scene was the same. It was almost like you were transforming each time you know, made a scene. And I was like, well, I was kind of going for that, so I'm glad it
mm-hmm.
I want recycled scenes, you know what I mean? So, and a lot of my stuff is mental too. You'll start seeing that. Like I'll take you on a journey, and you'll think it's happening, and then at the end of the scene, I'll tell you it was in the person's mind. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, keep a person on their toes. Well, we're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Carla Thomas, gee whiz, Rufus Thomas, baby girl. If you don't know who Rufus Thomas is, he did the song Do the Funky Chicken. If you don't know that song, then I don't know what to tell you. Because that's an oldie but goodie from way back in the
way
day.
Way oldie.
Yeah, so. Okay,
Envy,
go on,
Leah. When you conceived your story,
mm-hmm.
what part did you conceive first? Did you, like, okay, did you set out to write an erotic novel?
No.
Okay.
That's the interesting thing.
Did you conceive, did you set out to write a novel around a serial killer?
Yes.
Okay, all right, okay.
Yeah.
And then it developed into that. Okay. Now,
mm-hmm.
when you originally set out to write this novel around this serial killer, at what point, well, when did it come to you how you were going to put that twist of, you know, that circle into your novel? I'm trying to see why you didn't just write a serial killer novel about a serial killer going around D.C.
I know where you're going.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to tell you what happened, and this is going to answer your question even more. The question that was asked earlier about, you know, is any of this stuff related to you, or do you know any people? Like, what happened? Okay, this is crazy, but it's the truth. I got to tell the truth and shame the devil. What happened with this book is originally, of course, I had the whole murder take place in the beginning. That was already in my head, okay? And then I said, okay, I'm going to center it around the Sydney. You know, the book was really originally supposed to be about Sydney, like all about her all the way. And
okay.
She got hooked up with the wrong people, and there was, you know, at a time when there was a serial killer. When after she had, you know, they had relocated as children, I already knew I was going to have them relocate, you know, to the D.C. area as children, and that, you know, something was going to happen. I knew something was going to happen, that she was going to get involved with some people, and there was going to be a serial killing situation. Well, lo and behold, me with my crazy self was out with some girlfriends one day at a strip club. Yeah, we were. And... This lady walks up to me and gives me a card. Now, I'm looking at the card because the card is really erotic, and it has her number, and you know we have, you know, you pretty much knew that it was something underground because it was a little obscure, like it wasn't really clear what this was.
Okay.
She was like, "Call me, we have something going on." So I was like, okay, so me and the girlfriends finally worked with the nerd to call this lady and figure out what was up with this card, and then we ended up finding out it had something to do with that whole lifestyle. So
mm-hmm.
then me, with my mind, got it in my head, bingo, that's what's going to be the root of this serial killing thing going on.
All right.
I'm going to center it around this lifestyle and make people wonder if it had something to do, you know, with these people being targeted, and that's what it was.
Okay. Now, I didn't ask. But this
Rhea?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't ask it to pry, but I was curious because I could easily see where this was two or three stories that were easily wound into one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, I wonder which one did she conceive first?
Mm-hmm.
Because from the beginning of the book when I was reading, I actually thought the story was going to be centered around Sydney.
Yeah.
But then when you opened it up, I'm like, no, it's not centered around Sydney. It's centered around the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you opened it up further, I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is interesting. But
mm-hmm.
I the one thing I can say, and this is something that I've been somewhat spoiled with when it comes to books. I'm going to say books of a certain nature, and I'm just going to add the word action in there because I
mm-hmm.
think that's where it lasts. If I can't visualize and see the things happening, it's like, okay, this author ain't did their job. Because when you're reading, and I'm not just talking about the erotic scene, I'm talking about even, okay, let's say a scene in the gym. If you go into detail, any detail about that scene, I should be able to picture that scene in my mind.
Right.
Unless I just don't know nothing about gyms. Okay? You know what I'm saying? So if you can't see it, if you can't see it as you're reading it, especially when you get a book that grabs you like that and keeps you engaged, to me, that's what keeps you engaged in that book, because you see this action playing out before you while you're reading this book, and the words are going faster and faster, and next thing you know, you go from doing 10 pages a day to 15 pages a day to 19 pages a day to 20. I mean, you know, your number keeps increasing as the days go on because you're getting drawn into the story. And I really could appreciate the imagery that presented itself as you were reading that book, and it's like it wasn't okay. You know how some and as you noticed, that's how I opened up my review, because you told me this was an erotic novel, okay. I'm very well aware of the fact that you only sent that novel to me because certain people told you to. Okay. You would have never sent that novel to me otherwise. But certain people guided you, let's say, in that direction. And when I was first reading, I knew about the erotica part. So I prepared myself for that. But as that story unfolded, your story actually became bigger than the erotica, which threw me because of my talk with you. It's like, oh, wow, because I've read some books that could have been some good books. Then they throw these damn sex scenes in there that come out of nowhere, and it's like, why did they just do that? And what purpose did they just serve? Because what they say, sex sells, baby. If the sex ain't intertwined with the story, it don't.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And you did that very masterfully. That's one of the things that I could. I mean, you did that because you didn't. And part of it is too, and which I commend. And now I more get why that erotic part is there, because it wasn't just sex. It was sensuality. It was, I mean, because when Nina got her ass dressed, it was like, you know what? I could see that woman doing everything she did.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you talked about her, what was her, his name wasn't Brandon. Was it Brandon?
Jay. The man?
No, not the man.
I'm talking about the she-he. Oh, Brandon, yes.
Yes. Even when you talked about him, I swear I'm sitting there and I'm seeing him, picturing him, like she was standing there and she was doing the work and he was giving her the evil eye because she didn't give him the details.
Yeah,
you don't know how many times. It's like that scene right there had me dying laughing. Because I've been around, it's like, I know I'm friendly. Well, I'm friendly with one. One of them is just a nerve wrecker. And they act just like that. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, damn, look at her. You don't know how long I laughed at that one scene. That one line in that book. It's like, and he said, look at over here giving me the evil eye because I ain't told him this. Girl,
right.
I'm just sitting there laughing. But
she couldn't wait to get away from him so that she could have a peace of mind so she can figure out, how am I going to not tell this fool what's going on in my life? Because he's going to cry.
Exactly. But I appreciated the way it was wounded together, so much so, I'll say it again, that the story took prominence over everything else. You knew about the circle because of that's where the serial killer was traveling.
Yeah.
If it hadn't have been for that, that wouldn't have been a prominent in your forefront because the storyline did its job. But, and let me just tell you one more spin you threw in there. Kim in the damn garbage can. Girl, I almost choked on a cookie.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, How did she know how to get to her?
Yeah.
How did she know how to? Because he never talked about. He talked about when he was there that night where she lived at, but he didn't talk about. He only talked about, damn, she called again, this, that, and the other. So that means she had to get access to his phone. She had to do this, that, and the other. Girl, that part right there, I'm like, And then
you
know that married woman was going to be next.
I had it like I'm not gonna give it like I'm not gonna give it away because if I say too much then they'll know who did it.
Okay.
It's sort of like this: the person who did that with her and you know, they were coming to visit. You know what I mean? That's the way I had it in my mind. They could have been coming to visit this person because remember they was trying to get this person under their belt. You know what I mean? So. Because they were trying to get this person under their you know, under their belt to, you know, work with them and everything, you know, they just so happened to run into this chick, you know what I mean, who had been, you know, pretty much stalking him. And it's like, oh, I'm going to take care of that. I got that for you.
Okay. We have another caller on the line. I'm going to bring them in. 203, are you there?
I am. How you doing?
Fantastic. Hi. You have a question or comment for Envy Red?
I do. Envy Red, what's popping, baby? It's your girl, Mac Mama. I was just calling in to let you know. Just to let you know that, you know, I'm here. I'm listening. I'm loving the interview. And I cannot wait to get my touch and my jaded. And I just wanted to just show you some love, baby.
Thank you,
this
Mac Mama.
This is Mac Mama.
Yes. Author, everybody.
Hi, Mac Mama. How you doing?
Hello.
Hey, Delicious. I'm a fellow blog talker, baby. I follow your show.
I know. I've been on your show.
Okay. Hey, girl.
Yeah, I was listening to your show.
All right. Well, Envy over here tonight because I wanted to hear what she be talking about. You know, she's very interesting, just her persona alone, and I wanted to just hear how she put it down. And, I'm excited about the book. I really am because I like commodities. I do. So I cannot wait to read it. And I just wanted to show some support. And Delicious, you're doing a great job interviewing. So I wanted to tell you that. And
thank you.
You know, just I'm here. I'm in the building. I wanted to press one and just let y'all know I'm here.
Thank you.
Well, we
so
appreciate
much,
you coming
Mama.
By.
Yes.
Wow.
See what I'm saying, y'all? It is diverse. I love my peeps.
That's right. You keep doing what you're doing, girl, because we got to support each other, and that's what it's about. So I love the fact that – well, let me ask you a question from another – now, this is an author's question. From another author asking an author, because I'm a novice at writing. And although I do have another book out now, it's my second book, but I haven't been in the game long. How many books do you have, how many titles do you have out so far?
Well, Touch was my first book, and Jaded will be my second. And I am already in, because everybody knows I'm like this big-time roller skater. That's like my thing. So I had to do something for my people on that side, but this book is going to be full of drama. I have my third book that I'm actually working on now, doing the research for. I hope to have it. It's going to be out pretty early. I'm going to do things a little bit, you know, I'm going to move along pretty fast this time because I have everything pretty much planned out, but March. So I'll have, you know, I figured I'll be 33 in March. I have three books and we'll go from there.
All righty.
And what's your writer's process like with the erotica? Because I came in kind of late on the show, so I don't know if Delicious already asked you about this. But, like, I haven't read the book yet, but, of course, just the genre of erotica lets me know that there's some juicy scenes in the book.
Yes,
so
it is.
Where do you just take that from your personal experiences, or you come out of body and kind of, like, you know, go and create a character for this?
Oh, my goodness, completely out of body. I'm going to tell you, when I write erotica, because I write short stories, too. I'll have to read something for y'all one day. But I come completely out of body when I do my erotica because I don't want to be biased and basically create, recycle erotic scenes, because what will happen is when you sort of base it on yourself, you'll start getting repetitious in some of your stuff. I like to be fresh with my erotica. So what I do is I completely come out of body and I think about a scenario, and then I look down on the people, on the characters, as if I were like a fly on the wall. And then I'm like, okay, what would this person do, and what would the scenery look like around them? And then I try to jump back into the characters, like, okay, how are you feeling? You know, how does this make you feel? You know, so it's sort of like, you know, it's an out-of-body experience for me, but I try to absorb myself in a whole new character. You know, sometimes I'm outside of the character, sometimes I'm inside. You know, I try to give you both sides. Like, what are they seeing? You know, what are they feeling? And that's basically it. I don't really have any other formula other than that when I write the erotica portion.
I cannot wait to read this touch. I cannot wait to read Jaded. I'm very excited because I've been reading a lot of urban lit and urban books lately, and they're all like, they're not, I haven't read no eroticas yet, so I can't wait to read an erotica, yes, because I'm not going to lie. Like, when I read a book, I want, like how Delicious said, you want to visualize the book, and I'm not going to lie, I like to visualize a nice, juicy sex scene. You know,
oh, yeah, you're definitely going to visualize with my – you don't have no choice but to visualize. But I want to give you everything blow by blow.
Yes.
Break it down for you. You know, sometimes they say it's a such thing as being too detailed. Well, with the erotica, I don't really think that's necessarily true, because I guess it could be true, because some people, they don't know – you know, they go too much in details on the things that's not relevant. You know, you want to kind of get to the point on certain things, but – you know, I basically, with my erotica, you know, I try to keep it fresh. I try to keep it, you know, and I'm a mind type of person. I like to get in your mind a little bit. So I might, you know, give you a scene, and it might be instead of it being a normal sex scene, it might be a phone sex scene. Or you know, it might be something where the person is, like, a lot of my characters imagine other things, which, you know, I kind of take that from real-life situations, because how many times have you, you know, been involved intimately with somebody and you're thinking about something else? So I don't see too many people putting that in the writing. So I said, I'm going to tell you how it really is. I'm having sex with this person, but I'm thinking about this. So I'll do it like that, and it heightens the person's arousal, because, you know, many of us have been guilty of that. You know, you might think of somebody else, and I've had characters do that in some of my stories. They'll be, you know, in the middle of something, and, you know, in order for them to get to the next level, they may start having fantasies about somebody else, and I will describe that fantasy.
Is Jaded a part two of Touch? Why y'all laughing? What happened?
I'm laughing because I don't even know how to answer that question, because it's crazy, because, okay, put it this way. Touch is an erotic murder mystery, you know. Jaded is no erotica, and it's to what, you know, Rhea was saying earlier, that, you know, sometimes certain things are not necessary, right? So in Jaded, what I did was, I'm like, this story takes place in a mental institution. What do I look like making this into an erotic tale in a mental? I mean, what are you going to do in a mental institution besides imagine, you know? So, you know, there's only like two sex scenes in that whole book. I mean, one is between the therapist and her husband, and the other one is a flashback that one of the characters has. So
you're saying that the two sex scenes are in Jaded, right?
Yeah, there's only two in Jaded.
Now, that brings me to a question. Stop right there. I asked this question last Monday on my show, because Daisy Jones is my newest book, and I didn't know whether to list it as an erotica or not, because I felt like I only had, like, four sex scenes in there, and why should I make it an erotica? But then there was people saying that, yeah, it's erotica when you describe, you know, a sex scene, and it's a steamy sex scene, then it should be categorized as erotica. What's your opinion on that? So you're saying
I have a strong opinion on that. I think that is bogus, because this is the thing. Like, erotica, like, I can tell, it's one of those things where when you see it, you know what it is. Erotica is a story, you know, like, although, you know, touch has a plot, the sex scenes in that book, there's enough of them, and they're detailed enough to where, of course, it's going to be erotica because they have a strong presence in the book, the sex scenes do. But I've read a lot of urban fiction, a lot of street fiction that has some stuff that will put me to shame, you know, on the erotica. But they're not categorized as erotica. So,
well,
there's a
difference in some of the erotica, because you have porn erotica and then you have erotica. And porn erotica is more of it being directly in your face, where erotica is it has different wording for different things, but it still means the same thing as in porn erotica. So, you know, there is a difference, you know, because like in some of Zane's books is porn erotica, and then she has, you know, some erotica. But, you know, in my book of Delicious Erotic Short Stories, there's a little porn in there as well, but it's also erotic in there too, you know. But for certain stories, you it calls for porn to bring it out for certain stories, and then some stories, you know, you can just put the erotic in there.
Right.
Okay, Delicious, let me ask you a question. When you say porn erotica, do you mean by using phrases or words like dick over penis? And before I even start, because, you know, I go there, can we curse on your show? Can I get...
Yes.
Okay, so if I use dick instead of penis or pussy instead of vagina, then that would automatically make it a porn erotica.
Well, see, this it's a thin line between that, because, like I said, the reason why it would be more porn, because they've used those words in the you know, the books, like little porn books you used to get back in the day, and you know, they would say dick opposed to pussy, opposed to penis, and you know, use different words, you know, instead of, like, because I was reading, I forgot the name of the book I was reading, but in this, and it sounded so erotic when the author referred to the woman's vagina as the velvet box. That just sounds so erotic, and you know what he's talking about, you know, opposed to saying, well, her pussy this. He just said her velvet box was, you know, was soft and, you know, whatever. But, you know, there's a thin line between, and then sometimes it calls for those direct words, because in one of my stories in the book is The Producer, and it's about this couple who, this white couple who he loves to see his wife having sex with big black mendingos. So, therefore, it's, you know, a little... porn erotica in that particular story, you know. So, in some stories it calls for it, you know. Then some of the stories are, you know, soft, and you can just put, you know, well, I was nibbling on her luscious fruits, you know, and that's her breasts, you know.
And that goes hand in hand, I think, too, with character development, because it depends on how you're developing that character. Like, for example, in Touch, Nina is raw and uncut. So her scenes had to be more porn. Like, I mean, the first sex scene in the book, you know, she's having sex with a woman and she's, you know, like off the chain with it, you know. And I kind of debated about making that the first scene because it was so in your face. You know, she's, you know, because she dropped the F-bomb immediately, you know. So it's like, you know, To answer your question about whether or not the book should be categorized, it's relative, but I'll say this. Erotica, to me, in order for it to be categorized that way, it has to have a strong presence in the book. I mean, if you have a story and, you know, it might be street lit or whatever it is, and the erotica doesn't have a strong presence, meaning like, you know, maybe one of your characters just, you know, people have sex. So at some point in the book, you know, most fiction books anyway, most of them are going to have sex at some point, you know, even if, you know, it's just, oh, they went to sleep and, you know, they went to bed and they made love and they, you know, they kind of sugarcoat around everything, you know, to make sure it doesn't tip into erotica, it's still going to have some sort of erotic element to it. You know, most stories do. But what pushes it into the erotica realm is when it has such a strong presence in the book. So I wouldn't worry about, you know, if it doesn't have a strong presence in the book, I would not change my genre to erotica. I just wouldn't do it because, you know, you want to take whatever is whatever percent of your book has the, you know, that it has the most of, that's where you take your label. So.
Okay, and that's a great answer because I feel the same way, but I messed around and did exactly opposite, listening to somebody else, and it held me up. Like, for instance, iBooks, they make you, when you put erotica as a listing on your book, and I didn't notice before I did it, it holds up the placement of the book. So, because they want to be. And I had no idea. So I was like, well, why the hell my book ain't on iBooks, but my other book is on iBooks, but Daisy Jones isn't on iBooks yet. And then that's when I contacted them, and they said, well, they're reviewing it. And I was like, oh, I should have never did that dumb shit. Because I don't know damn erotica like that. I mean, it has sex scenes, but it's not a strong enough presence to me. It's a really, the storyline really has nothing to do with sex. It's just characters pop off. You know, in their in their daily life, but it's not an erotic presence like you're saying. You know what I'm saying?
Mac Mama, you made a valid statement that I picked up on when you said the storyline. Does the storyline, and see, that's how another way you could think about it. Does the storyline have a lot of erotica entangled in it? You know, is the storyline about sex? I mean, like, with my book, it's obvious. It's about people who are in the lifestyle at a time when they're serial killing. So it fits in mystery. It actually fits in mystery because it is a mystery, but it also fits in erotica. But because erotica is such a strong presence in the book, you have to categorize it, you know, as such.
Yeah. I agree with you totally on that, and I made a mistake with that because, you know, it jammed me with my listing, but I've corrected it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's, and I took it out of that listing, which they didn't hold it up because of that, but I just don't want that, because another thing, too, what I was doing is I actually read some excerpts of my book, and I read the sex parts, because let's be real, that's what people want to hear. You know, they want to hear the juicy parts. If you're going to read the excerpt out of your book, to me, I'm going to the juiciest part of the book. And when I have my freak hour, it's a freak fest, so I know all the late night lovers is going to come in calling, so they want to hear that. So when I read it, and, you know, people loved it, they're like, oh, yeah, you know, that was great. But at the same time, when you read in the rest of the book, it has nothing to do with erotica. It was just, that was the point for the books that they popped off in. So I felt the same exact way as you. I felt like, you know, I shouldn't have labeled the book erotica. But you answered the question because I had listeners and readers, you know, calling in and giving me their opinion. I needed to hear an opinion from another author, especially an author that writes erotica. So I'm so glad, yeah, that I felt you because I knew I was on the right ball with that one. But, yeah. Yes, I can't wait to read this book.
And you classify your book as erotica, and someone who reads erotica pick up your book, you've done a disjustice to that reader because that's what that reader is going to be looking for, and that's not what they're going to find.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And on the flip side, but here's the flip side, because this is what I said too. If I don't classify the book as erotica and they stumble across, because I also have two lesbian scenes in my books and I have a heterosexual scene that's really graphic, and if they stumble upon those as they're reading, I don't want them to get turned off because they're like this Christian reader that might have thought that, you know, they was just going to read about the girl Daisy Jones and, oh, my God, now they're talking about getting it in the bud and da-da-da-da. So I didn't want to, you know, turn somebody suicide with that. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's a double-edged sword because I'm going
to
tell you.
But you know what? You know what, Mac Mama? You have to write what pleases you because everybody going to have their opinion about your book regardless. So you can't write your book trying to please this one, please that one. You have to write the book and be happy with it yourself. And as long as you're happy with it, trust and believe, somebody else is going to be happy with it too.
Yep.
So don't sit down and try to write a book to please this person and please that person, because you're going to drive yourself crazy. Whatever pleases you, that's what you need to write about.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can disclaim as much as you want, okay? You can disclaim about the erotica. My book, if you flip over the cover to the synopsis, what does it say? Underground swinger, you know, lifestyle, you know. But, and I tell people, even when I go to signs, I have not, you know, it's not one person that I don't tell this book is erotica. You know what I mean? Because I want them to be clear that you're purchasing a book that has explicit material in it. So don't go and slam me on Amazon talking about, oh, she's writing porn. Because that true story, even though I do it, and even though it's disclaimed that my book is erotica, you know, to Delicious's point, it's still going to be people who are not satisfied, because I have a review under me right now for, I think it's like a 2-star review on Touch. But guess what the review says? It says, this book is not romantic enough. Wait a minute. I'm not one. Like, I like to take the reviews and really listen to them. I like to take the reviews and really listen to them and take what I can from them. But that one kind of got under my skin, because it's like, where do I say that this is a romance novel? This is not a romance novel. This is an erotic novel. So how can you, you know, give me a bad review based on, I'm telling you what the book is. I'm disclaiming what the book is. The synopsis disclaims what the book is. So are you expecting me to give you romance when we're talking about swingers? Because that's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, I had a person to leave a review on my first book, Was Past Is Not Forgotten. They said that the cover depicts it being erotic, but it's not an erotic story. The cover is not erotic. The cover goes with the story, you know, because another reviewer had said that the cover goes with the story. And I didn't put that cover to me, I didn't, you know, look at it as being an erotic cover. That's just what the reader had, you know, because everybody's going to view your work differently. Everybody sees it different. So you can't just, you know, take one person's opinion and just say, well, I'm going to give up right because this person don't like it. Because I knew of one person, she got a bad review. She actually was in tears. And I'm just saying, sometimes a bad review can be a good review, because it was, I think her name is, I can't think of it. I think it's, oh, my goodness, I can't think of her name. But she wrote a book. And she had all these reviews, you know, good reviews, and then people saying, your book is trash, blah, 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 blah. So I'm wondering, now how come all these other people are saying her book is this, and these few people are saying they didn't like the book, it was trash. So that piqued my interest right there. And I'm just saying, maybe I should get that book and just read it for myself.
Right.
You know, so you can't discount, just don't discount, because any review is a good review, because you're going to learn something from it if it's a bad review, and if it's a good review, you're going to take something away from it as well.
Yeah, because I
don't see a problem with mentioning in your on your synopsis side. I don't know if I would necessarily do it on the cover or whatever, but I guess with the synopsis, I would probably do it. I don't see a problem with mentioning that this book contains adult content or anything like that. I don't have a problem with that, but I don't see a problem with that if you want to give that warning out. But I know I read erotica, and I like tasteful erotica, but I read erotica. And when I pick up a book that's denoted as a book of erotica, that's what I want between those covers of those pages. And when I don't get that, I'm disappointed. And I'm going to let that author know that I am disappointed in that book. Now, I'm not one for giving out really bad reviews, but I may not put certain things in my review, but if you get, it's hard to write a bad book for me, okay? Because I'm a person who loves books just that much. And I respect the craft of the fact that this person actually took the time to write something that I love, which is books. So mm-hmm. it's really hard for me to give a bit, but when I give you a 3, I've only given out 1, 2, and I didn't want to do that review. I gave that author a choice, and that author told me, yes, do the review, and I did the review. And I reviewed the book. I didn't touch that much on why I gave her a 2, but I told them what I liked about the book and what I felt as though was definitely lacking. And mm-hmm. and I did it because I gave her an option. Otherwise, I don't. To me, it's pointless to tear down something. I'll give you a prime example. What's her name? T-Style, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Got a book
mm-hmm.
out named Raunchy. The book is named Raunchy.
Yeah.
Why did somebody call her and talk about that book and said that book was too, they used another word, raunchy. She said, what mm-hmm. is the name of my book?
Right, it's called.
I'm like,
raunchy.
Exactly.
That's what you expect.
Is?
You pick that up. Exactly. You want some raunchy stuff going on between them pages.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So that's one thing that I think more so in regard to, you know, that if it's not like Envy said, hers is totally immersed in erotica. Okay, throughout that book, you're going to find that. If it's not like that, then it shouldn't be classified as erotic.
Yeah,
that's right.
It just shouldn't. Mm-hmm.
It sure shouldn't, and that's why I took that erotica right on off of mine, because it really, I don't think that it's immersed in, or it doesn't, it would be misleading. Even though I got the hot, ill sex scenes in there, it's still not, and it's not erotic. Like
exactly.
Nothing to do with
mm-hmm.
that. It's just ill sex scenes in there. But,
that has to be the primary focus. I won't say the primary focus, but it has to be very,
It has to be very strong. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, just like everybody has their own opinion about books, a book that you may read, and I read it, may not mean anything to me. You know, because I've had a few books here, and one book, I mean, I really couldn't, I just could not even read the first chapter of this book, because number one, it was a silly story to me. It was just silly, mm-hmm. you know, and then it didn't, I mean, to the people who had reviewed the book before I did, they were saying it was this, it was that, but I didn't know why they were saying that. But, you know, I couldn't even read the book. And I'm not going to lie. If a book doesn't grab my attention, I can't read it. And then if I do read it, it's just like I'm taking castor oil. You know, I'm forcing myself to read this book,
yeah.
and I'm not really even concentrating on it, you know, not getting anything out of it, because if I read a book, I want to have something that's going to stick with me, you know,
mm-hmm.
And to play it over and over in my mind. I see a cover of a book like Touch. Every time I look at this book, I can see what I read in the book,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, a lot of authors trick you with them covers. Oh, real quick.
I can't stand that.
mm-hmm. I'm going to jump off of that because I'm like, go there. But we got some listeners from Readers Are Us Book Club. They have been such big supporters of me. And Black Faithful Sisters and Brothers Book Club. And I think there's some people in there from Black E-Book Clubs and maybe My Urban Book Clubs. But I just wanted to shout out, you know, them real quick and thank them for listening in, because – they were actually talking about this in Readers R Us today about, you know, you got some people who they may be friends with the author or I'm just going to put it out there. They might be friends with the author or whatever the case may be. And so they'll read the book or maybe even not read the book, and it gets all these rave reviews. But then when they go to purchase the book is a 1-2-star book. And they
mm-hmm.
and they had about 3 different posts going on about this subject today, so it must be something running rampant right now, you know. And I mean, I guess what happens sometimes is, you know, people, you know, they got the family members or whatever, they go in there and they didn't read the book, or maybe they didn't read the book, and they're pumping a person up, or, you know, in
mm-hmm.
some cases, you got people like Rhea said, you know, they may not like the book, but they don't want to slam the author, so
so they don't write a review. But I say this all the time. The people who really, really, really are avid readers and they don't like books, trust me, they're going to go in there and review the book. So that's why I say
exactly.
It's really important for people, like when you like a book, you know, for you to go and, you know, and show some love on it, because what will happen is you'll have some really good books that will fall through the cracks, but then you'll have other books that will sell through the roof that are whack. But because they got some 5-star reviews, you know, from family members or whoever, you know, now their book is selling more because, you know, a lot of people do go and take those reviews seriously, and they buy the
right.
book based off of that. So, you know,
let me make a confession right now. I am not a book reviewer. That is something. I am not a book reviewer. I'm not going to lie about it. But if I get a book, now listen to this. I've had several books that I have actually read, like I said, that held my attention. But that, you know, it's been a few books that I could not read. And, you know, I'm not going to force myself because, like, I understand if you are a true book reviewer, you have to read every book that is presented to you that a person wants to review. That's what I understand a true book reviewer is, the person who's going to read that book regardless of whether it's trash, garbage, or what. That's what a true book reviewer is. And I'm not a book reviewer. But like I said,
what you say, you're going to toss it out the window if it's no good?
That's right. Now, that's the God's honest truth.
I'll toss it.
But, you know, there are, like I said, it's been fortunate that I have had books that I could read, you know, and, you know, books that I can't, I don't.
Delicious.
Well, no, I am a book reviewer. However,
if I put my money on it,
I'm going to read it.
Let me just say, if I spend my money on it, I'm going to read it. Then I'm going to give it to somebody who,
likes
it.
One thing in her conversation where she said that family members and people's friends write book reviews. And when you said that, it just made me think. My sister, I called my sister and I said, sis, go give me a review on my book. Now, she read Tales of Original Bad Girl, and she hadn't read my new book, Daisy Jones. So she was going to give me a book on review on Daisy Jones. So she calls me and she reads me this glowing review. And I said, don't post that because, first of all, you didn't read Daisy Jones and I like honest reviews. She kind of felt insulted because she felt like, you know, I'm hooking you up. I'm doing, you know, I'm bigging you up. And I'm like, Ma, it's not that. It's that I don't need you to give me a fake review. I need an honest review. And people can see through that because, first of all, you don't know, you're not really talking about the book. You're talking about Mac Mama as a person. No, already showed me, the reader, that's bullshit. Because you're not saying particular details of the storyline. You understand what I'm saying? So I can read through a fake review in a minute. I'm very good at do that right now because I've been purchasing a lot of, I've been in these groups. I've just got invited into like 3-4 different book groups and within the past 2 weeks. I've been purchasing a lot of authors' books because I'm nosy as hell and I also, you know, I got the Blog Talk Radio show, so I get, you know, I'm picking people that I want to do interviews with, you know, to help promote their books. And I'm not going to lie, I am reading these books, and I'm reading the reviews first, and everybody that's, you know, posting about the book, then I read the book, and I'm kind of disappointed. Not on all of them, and I would never say the names because I feel like because I'm in the game, I'm not going to bash anybody. So I'm going to leave the reviews to the reviewers. But what I will do is just simply pick the best in my show because I can't co-sign no bullshit because I'm real like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I'm like, wait a minute, they said this about this, and I'm reading the book, and I'm not, it's not catching my attention, I'm like falling asleep, I'm nodding, I'm making myself read, this is crazy. So, you know, it's just like, I want people to be honest, you know.
Right.
And another thing I have to say, and I might be guilty of it too, because I done woke up, or I done read some shit that I felt like this, my daughter edited it. It just wasn't.
Well, I know I can review a book that I don't like. And one of the things that I, one of the things, okay, I can read a book, and it's not my type of book. It didn't touch me. Now, it's very hard for a book not to be my type of book because I like to go all over the place and be read. So I read all over the place.
Excuse me, we only had 3 minutes and 21 seconds left. And, Envy, you want to let everybody out there listening know where they can get your book and how they can keep up with you?
Yes, Touch is available now just about everywhere. You can get books. You can order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's in a slew of all the Urban Knowledge bookstores, Horizon up in Philly, Black & Nobel up in Philly. Down here at the Capitol Flea Market. It's the Literary Joint Bookstore. Shout out. T-Styles Bookstore, Cartel Cafe and Books in Oxon Hill. Just about anywhere. Jaded comes out in a couple weeks. Thank you guys, everybody who's been sending me the pre-orders. The pre-orders is up until Sunday. You get a free ebook if you pre-order Jaded. Announcement, free ebook. I know y'all like that. So
okay, get y'all's free ebook.
Right. So visit my website, you know, to get that PayPal secure checkout on there at envyred.com. It's real easy. Everything that deals with me is envyred something. So there it is.
Mac Mama, you want to give out your show and the time?
I would, darling. Sundays at 11 p.m. Sexy Sundays, Mac Mama's World Radio, and it's www.blogtalkradio.com/Mac Mama. Sunday I'm going to have the author Mike O, and he is the author of A Thousand Grams. And also you can find my book, Tales of Original Bad Girl, and Daisy Jones on all the online retailers. It's an e-book, and the physical paperback for all those who like the traditional paperback books, go to www.starstatuspublishing.com, and you can purchase those there. And I just got with the program and made my books $2.99 for my holiday discount, because I see everybody is coming off with the $2.99 specials, so that's what I want to try. I was trying to hold fast with my $6.99 and $5.99, and I felt like my sales were not budging. And I see why people are selling their books for dirt cheap on these e-books, so I had to get with the program. You can't beat them, join them. So definitely support. Baby, I'm waiting for my, wait a minute, Envy, I want my free touch thing now because I done boarded my kids. When am I going to get my touch?
I'm sending out the coupon codes next week, Mama, as soon as the sale is over on Sunday.
I'm sorry, we had a call in the queue, but I'm sorry, call, I couldn't get to you. Maybe you can call in next week when we're going to have a great show. Next week is Dean Jean Perry, and he wrote the book, The Pussy Whisperer. Friday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the following Friday on the 18th, I'm going to have Keith Williams. He wrote Something Brooklyn, Mostly Mars. So tune in next Friday, same time, same place, Delicious Talk. Everybody have a beautiful weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Envy, for being my guest. Mac Mama, appreciate you stopping by, and I am going to be stopping by your show. Rhea, love you, girl. Everybody have a beautiful weekend.
Thank you.
And good night.
Have a good weekend.
Be positive. All right.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good
night.